Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of November 13th, 2018. And this is episode number 375. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And we are live right here on the Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com. And this week, we've got some out-of-this-world news. We got all kinds of strange things happening. UFOs and you name it, weird stuff happening all over the world. And so we're going to be talking about strange creatures as well. Strange creatures fascinating and mesmerizing tourists with their gentle music. Yes. And talk about that giant UFO over Sweden. If you haven't seen it, oh my goodness, it's scary. We'll also talk about the pilots having that UFO encounter over Ireland. And we'll talk about UFOs over Florida and Texas. Yeah, lots of UFO stuff. So if I've neglected the UFO folks, well, tonight is your night. We're going to be talking just about an hour's worth of UFO stories. And this Ireland thing is pretty new. It happened a few days ago. It happened last Friday, but didn't hit the papers really until Sunday, and it really has exploded. It's one of the biggest stories going on in UFOs right now, and we'll cover that in depth right here tonight on the Paranormal News Insider. And why not? Let's just get going. And if you've not noticed, hopefully you did notice. If you didn't notice, well, I can't help you there. But show is back live on the air after a two-week hiatus. Although I did produce a special Halloween edition of the Paranormal News Insider for October 30th, as I was out of town. I was actually speaking at the Westerville Public Library in Westerville, Ohio, for my 10th consecutive year at that library. That's to me, that's amazing. I don't know too many people who have gone to the same library 10 years in a row to speak on a variety of subjects. And I've covered just about everything I can think of. We might even be talking about UFOs next year. I don't know. I kind of put that out there that that's my latest book, and we shall see. Maybe that's going to be something, or I'll probably go back to ghosts. I've talked about cryptozoology the last couple of years, so we'll see. But either way, it was really exciting to be down there hanging out with that crowd once again. I mean, gosh, 10 years, and it started back when this show started. The Paranormal News Insider just celebrated its 10-year anniversary back in September. So, wow, both things going strong, at least in my opinion, going strong. And looking forward to hopefully, potentially, being back at that library again next year. And for me, happily, I guess, you know, I do like going out and speaking, but I've done a lot of traveling lately, and it's good to know that my 2018 traveling calendar is officially over. Hopefully, maybe, I don't know, I might have a radio appearance here and there, as sometimes happens towards the end of the year, but yeah, my traveling is done, and now I can start focusing on the 2019 calendar, which slowly been putting together some events for 2019. You got to be careful because a lot of these are just starting to get their feet underneath them. There are a lot of them that are going to take place earlier in the year next year. So, you know, they're already announcing or have announced their lineups and their websites and everything. So I've tried to put together a list for 2019, and with ghosts pretty much being the most popular subject matter out there as far as the paranormal is concerned, and the far it far exceeds any other amount of conferences and conventions. If you put together UFOs and cryptozoological events, it's probably equals what's out there as far as ghost events. So I spent a considerable amount of time the last few days and put together a pretty tentative list. It's actually pretty longer than what I thought I'd already have at this point of the year for ghost conferences and conventions coming up for 2019. I got to get working on the UFO and cryptozoology lineups for next year, but I wanted to get this ghost one kind of tackled, and we'll see. I sent out a few emails to a few event promoters to see what's going on with some of these that were said to be going to take place. I want to make sure that before I put anything on there that I'm definite that these are going to be taking place, so you know I can give you the most accurate, up-to-date information. And like I've said before, my site, not to toot my horn, but a lot of people like to copy and paste what I do, what I put on as far as my events on all their web pages. And, you know, that's it's frustrating at one point that I'm doing the work and other people are just stealing it. But it's flattering at the same time that people are considering what I'm doing. One of the better event listing websites out there. And I don't do the Comic Cons and all the other scare cons and all that other weird stuff that people do, the Halloween industry type events that go on out there. I don't do those. I try to keep it strictly paranormal. Those that are people that are going out there and investigating hauntings, investigating cryptids, and investigating UFOs. And it's pretty widespread across the country. It seems to be that most of these events take place on the East Coast, but we got a lot happening down south, it appears, next year as well. So really excited about that. I'm going to be working, again, like I said, a little harder with the cryptid and UFO stuff. Most of the UFO stuff is through MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, as they do plenty of events throughout the year. And I have a few of them that I'll be speaking at, a couple in May. I think I have one in April, a library event, but looking forward to that. And gosh, we got to get through this holiday season. I just did this Halloween episode. It felt like last week, but I guess it's 2 weeks. And now next week, it's already Thanksgiving. And people are talking about snow and all this other stuff. Man, can we just slow down a little bit? This year just seemed to speed by pretty fast. And before you know it, it's going to be Christmas. I know. I think this show is actually on Christmas, so I don't know. Not sure what we're going to be doing for that. Yeah, Christmas Day. So who knows? Maybe we'll be roasting chestnuts live in the air. I don't know. We'll think of something. We'll cross that bridge when we smack into it. But anyway, let's jump into some news tonight. And we're going to talk some cryptid news. Probably one of the more stranger stories I've seen pop up. And it was kind of, I don't know. I like when these things have closure. But at the same time, sometimes I like when these weird, wacky stories kind of prolong themselves a little bit. Kind of like the Polish, the Poland, what were those things? The mermaids that were seen pulled out of that river. That was a really cool story. And it lasted a little longer than what I'd hoped it would have, but finally came to a conclusion. And this one, unfortunately, got solved awful quick. And I've seen my fair share of strange videos on a variety of social media outlets over the years. But on November 2nd, a really strange video was uploaded to Facebook. Not another cat video, but tourists were kayaking in Rylai Bay in Thailand when they came upon strange creatures hanging out on the rocks. Not only were these strange troll-like creatures milling about on the rocks and in the water, but they were playing what sounded and appeared to be clarinets. Well, the video was just over a minute long, but didn't really provide much in the way of clarity as to what was going on. And for some reason, the kayakers kept their distance instead of heading in for a bit of a closer look, which is what I would have done. And it would have cleared things up right away. I mean, you're carrying a paddle. I mean, you can beat these little things off. And I don't know. That's what I would have done. But I have a couple of pictures here. So if you're live in the chat room, you can actually get to see some of these pictures that I've captured from some of these stories, which I think are pretty cool. Kind of gives this show a little bit of an extra dimension to it, if you will. And throw that image into the chat room. And you can see what these kayakers saw. And it's kind of weird stuff. And yep, not having too much luck here, but this weird video they saw, and they were kayaking out towards this little island off the coast of Thailand, and they saw these creatures in the water, just strange stuff. And it wasn't, they weren't still, they weren't statues. They're actually moving about, and you can see they've got their hands up towards their mouth. They're playing this clarinet. It's awfully annoying at first. But then after a while, it kind of gets soothing, kind of makes it weird. And yeah, exactly, Dita. A lot of people thought that these were monkeys. But unfortunately, there are no monkeys on these islands. So that was quickly thrown out. But they do look like it. And people were confused. There was kayakers, boaters, all hanging around this area, staring at these things and listening. And people were just in awe of this Facebook video. And these observers, again, they said that they were milling about and playing these clarinet things. And they stated that these troll-like creatures were engaged in some sort of ritual that lasted about a half hour. But they still had no answers. I mean, I would have paddled in, definitely. I would have grabbed one of these things and figured out what the heck was going on. So what were these creatures and what was going on out there in Grabby, Thailand? Well, it turns out that these weren't creatures. Yeah, I hate to ruin it for you. They were actually actors. Yeah, let me get to another picture here that I'll show you. You can kind of tell a little bit better, hopefully. Again, so if they would have gone a little closer, this is what they would have seen. They would have seen that these had human-like proportions. You would have seen that they were basically wearing costumes. So, you know, just a little patience, a little time, that's a pretty big picture. So you can really see you can tell. I mean, it's pretty obvious that these are costumes. And, yeah. It's hilarious. It is hilarious. And it's funny, though, how people are fooled by something that's completely outlandish in an area where these things have never been documented before. And suddenly, there's these weird troll-like creatures. So this was actually art. Not my kind of art. My kind of art is something that hangs on a wall or something you paint. But this apparently is art. And the scene was created by artist Tori Raines for the Thailand Biennale. The performance on the island was meant to appear spontaneous and unannounced, as these grabby creatures were meant to just be doing their thing. And the Biennale will go on for about 4 months, and Raines has some other performances lined up, and time will tell if they too will fool the public and end up generating some paranormal news, which I hope they do. I've watched a few of her videos, and I'll tell you what, they're really out there. I could do this stuff, folks. I should do this. I probably would make millions acting weird and writing a little, one of those hoverboard things and playing a flute. I could probably do that stuff. But weird stuff, and I guess if that's your thing, that's your thing that you call art, well, that's cool. Got nothing against that. So one last picture there in the chat room of them putting together these costumes. So again, if you're live in the chat room, you get a little sneak peek at these pictures and all this behind the scenes kind of stuff about a lot of these stories that sometimes when these stories are put out there, you might hear the headline or you might see the headline. You might talk about it on social media. But by the time that this conclusion is found, when these photographs are put up or the conclusion is found, a lot of times people don't talk about it. They don't see it. They don't hear it. It's not pushed out by the media that much because they're not going to get as many click-throughs as what they do when these strange stories come out and people speculate. People talk about them. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't care about the click-throughs and the money and all these other things that all these people are trying to get through all these stories lately. I like conclusions. I like to solve the mystery. I like to put these things to rest and to document them going forward so that we know that these weird creatures in Thailand were not weird creatures, but actors in costumes doing art-like things in the water. I think one of the stories had the last picture that I put on. It was actually on the Instagram of Tory Raines. I searched all their social media for all these pictures and different things to kind of give you guys, the listeners, a little bit of the behind-the-scenes stuff. But that's how I feel about it, getting to the bottom of these stories and putting them to rest and getting the real conclusion, or at least putting it in the best direction possible. And with that, strap in, put on your seatbelt, put down your visor, and get ready to go into outer space, because that's where we're headed to UFO news. Well, we're headed to space via Sweden. And yes, Sweden was under siege by a giant UFO last week. Trust me, there's a video about this. And before I get too carried away, let me throw... these are Facebook links, but I'm going to throw these in the chat room real quick. So hold on. Don't go anywhere. And watch yourself. If you're in the chat room, I'm going to throw this link in there. Hopefully, it doesn't land on anybody this time. It's happened a couple of times. People get landed on. So, see how well this works. Boom. And we got it. And so, yes, Sweden. Sweden is where our first UFO story is taking place. Giant UFO. I don't know if you saw this thing in the sky, the video. Now, it's filmed from the front seat of a bus, which one of the first things I do when I see a video, I try to figure out the vantage point. I don't care about what's going on in the sky. I don't care about what I'm told to be seeing. I want to see what's going on, how it's being filmed, what's the circumstances behind it. Not to spoil anything, but just to kind of get an idea so that when I do see this thing that I'm supposed to see, I don't have a preconceived notion by being told what this thing is by the link or the title of this video. So anyway, film from the front seat of a bus, which for me generally makes me slam on the brakes when I'm thinking about talking about these stories. Filmed inside of a vehicle or anything else, causes all sorts of problems. Reflections or other type of pareidolia because of reflections or lens flares or all sorts of different things can cause all kinds of havoc. But this video in question shows a giant object in the sky off in the distance as the bus moves down the road. Now, at first, I was thinking CGI. And one of the things that happens is this bus is going down the road, and you almost feel every jarring bump that this bus takes. But you can see this object, and you see these lights strung across the road, and you can see the UFO behind it. And to me, it almost looked a little fake there, but I was going to do some screen caps and evaluate that a little closer, the video. But I decided to look at the story in a different angle. Good for me, because that would have taken me a lot longer doing it that way. But didn't really seem to be too much digitally altered. But there was a few seconds there where I wasn't quite sure. But it wasn't outlandish. If it had been digitally altered, that it did a very simplistic job. And the good part, I should say, about some of these videos that are enhanced, a lot of times these people get really carried away, which is good, because it makes these things super fantastic. They try to make it as something that you would actually see in a movie. And to me, it makes it a lot more easily explainable as pretty much as fake, in my opinion. So it's interesting watching this object move, or I should say being in the sky, and it actually does move a little bit, but as the bus moves toward the object, it eventually stops at a bus stop, and you can see this, it's a large bell-shaped object just hanging there in the sky. And like I said, it's momentarily partially blocked by these lights that are strung over the road. And then it kind of starts to morph in shape, starts to move into kind of a rectangular shape, hanging long ways in the sky as the bus is picking up more passengers. Amareza Malad filmed the object and posted it onto YouTube back on November 6th with the caption, quote, "A strange flying object caught in the sky of Gothenburg, huge like a building, moving and changing in shape," unquote. That's quite the caption. Some have speculated that this might not be a UFO visiting Earth, but a reversed engineered UFO created here on Earth by Germans, specifically from the Adolf Hitler era, where he had been obsessed with collecting related objects. Well, the truth is, no, it's not reversed technology, but it is technology that does go back hundreds of years. But it's almost as exciting. It didn't really take too long, unfortunately, for this one to be solved. I wish it would have lasted at least a couple of days, but it was pretty much the same day that it was pretty much being solved online by people giving links and other information. Again, while the object is definitely there in the video, it didn't seem to get too much press outside of this quick story. And the solution, again, came very, very quickly. In the comments of the original video, there were, of course, many giving their speculations as to what the object was, most of which pointed toward a UFO mothership or other out there explanations. And you didn't see my air quotes there with the out there explanations. There were also quite a few UFO-based YouTube channels begging to be able to use the video on their channels, of course. And there was also a few people giving links to what they thought the object actually was. And this happened to be basically validated, because this particular object was, in fact, in the air at the time that this bus was going down the road and this video was being filmed. So the object in the sky was identified, and I'm not going to say it. I'm going to show you guys in chat what it was first so you can see, and you can get a nice little laugh out of this thing. If you don't know what it is, stranger than fiction. It's something that was completely unexpected. I'll be honest with you. When I saw this video, this was not what I was thinking immediately. But after watching it a few times, it made a lot of sense. So yes, that's what it was. It was a giant forklift. That's right, a giant forklift in the sky. Actually, a hot air balloon that was created to appear as a giant flying forklift as an advertisement for a material handling company based in Germany. Hot air balloons nowadays can be shaped in just about any type of object imaginable. Houses, cans, such as Guinness, a Maxwell House coffee can, Nescafe has a drinking mug. Budweiser has a glass of beer. Famous Footwear has a flying shoe. The Orient Express has a locomotive. Wells Fargo has a stagecoach. And Energizer has the Energizer Bunny. Disney has a floating castle and the Epcot Center's spaceship Earth, the golf ball thing. Captain Morgan has a giant pirate ship. LG has a hot air balloon shaped like a phone. There's a Scottish bagpiper, a cactus, a space shuttle, Sonic the Hedgehog, a giant bulldog, a cathedral, a British map, a rolled up newspaper, a polar bear, a cow with wings. Yes, a cow with wings. And there are even giant heads like Yoda and Darth Vader of Star Wars, and even the head of the Statue of Liberty. All these things have been created into hot air balloons. So a forklift, that's no big deal. And yes, it was proven, it was validated, it was backed up, it was confirmed that the forklift balloon was in fact in Gothenburg for the logistics and transport fair that took place from November 5th through the 7th. But nonetheless, yeah, if I would have seen that and not ever seen a hot air balloon, which they, I'm sure they have in that area, but a balloon like that, I'm sure it kind of caught people off guard who have never seen anything like that before. But it's strange because this balloon, I think, is about 8 years old. And I'm sure it's been at this event before in years past. But anyway, yep, that's it. Giant forklift. Never thought I'd be talking about a giant forklift hot air balloon as being the explanation for a UFO. But it's better than swamp gas or other things like that that are generally thrown out there. But yeah, to the big story. But first I'm going to throw in a link in the chat room there about this story. And again, if you're not live, don't worry, because I'll be posting these links to the story through the social media outlets of the Paranormal News Insider, so you can get a hold of them yourself during the week, and you can read about these yourself. And if you haven't heard about them, glad to share and glad to get this information out there so that people can hear the truth about these stories. And yeah, the big story that's kind of, I shouldn't say it's unfolding. It's pretty much out there right now and kind of in a holding pattern. That's a pun for this, this article. Holding pattern pretty much for it to be validated, verified, and shut down. And, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go. I kind of do know where it's going to go. They're gonna write it off. But anyway, this is a really interesting story that's gaining some traction and involves at least three airline pilots and probably four from what I heard on the air traffic control audio who reported a UFO in the same area at the same time. All of this took place on Friday, November 9th at 6:47 a.m., where a British Airways pilot operating Flight 94 from Montreal contacted Shannon Air Traffic Control off the southwest coast of Ireland and asked if there were any military activities scheduled to be in the area. Well, Air Traffic Control said no, the air is clear. And the pilot then laughed and denied their observation. The pilot said, quote, "It was moving so fast. It appeared on our left-hand side and rapidly veered to the north. We saw a bright light, and then it disappeared at a very high speed," unquote. A Virgin Airlines pilot of Flight 76 from Orlando to Manchester also contacted air traffic control and reported, quote, "A meteor or another object making some kind of re-entry. It appears to be multiple objects following the same sort of trajectory. They were very bright from where we were," unquote. Both pilots also reported seeing two bright lights in the sky. The Virgin Airlines pilot also stated that the object flew past his aircraft and then climbed away from him from his perspective. Other pilots chimed in, including one from a Norwegian Air flight, and seemed convinced that this was some sort of meteor. But then again, they all seemed surprised by the incident, and the object was described as going about twice the speed of sound, or what was described as, quote, astronomical speed, unquote. Which, well, I guess that's a little slower than ridiculous speed. And then that would obviously be way slower than, of course, ludicrous speed. Well, according to CBS News, the Irish Aviation Authority said these reports will be, quote, investigated under the normal confidential occurrence investigation process, unquote. That means they're just going to toss it in the trash can, pretty much. While I'm sure this agency will chalk up the sighting to a meteor, it should also be noted that no fireball reports can be found in the logs of the American Meteor Society that tracks hundreds of such reports yearly. And trust me, I have this link saved. I check it all the time. However, with the aircraft being off the coast and at a high elevation, this might have limited the amount of potential witnesses to that event. However, I would love to get a hold of more data to determine the angle and elevation of the sighting. And, you know, you would have to think that with how many hundreds of hours these pilots put in, you would think that they would be familiar with meteors and shooting stars. Well, a few experts have already chimed in and have basically stated that what the pilots saw was just shooting stars, or essentially dust moving in the atmosphere from space in what was thought to be anywhere from a walnut size to an apple-sized object. Well, I'm not sure how that could account for the perception of the object climbing away from the aircraft, but the instant doubt has already been setting in here, so they're already kicking the story to the curb. And if you're interested, liveatc.net has released the 31-minute MP3 recording of the incident. But don't get excited, because the action doesn't start till about 17 minutes in, and it only lasts, it's about 2 minutes. And it kind of goes by pretty fast. Interestingly, which is odd about this, when I first heard about this story, I thought, gosh, this sounds familiar. And it sounds familiar because this past March, there was also an incident of a UFO sighting that took place over the skies of Arizona, where two pilots reported a fast-moving object flying over and past their jets at over 30,000 feet. And that was probably not a meteor, just going to say. So let me get this copied and get this tossed into the chat room real quick so you guys can chew on that for a bit. Copy it. Whatever you want to do with it. I don't know. There's that link. And this is a story. It's gaining traction. It's been out there on, gosh, everything from all the UK newspapers, and it's been on CNN, it's been on Fox, it's been on pretty much all the large media outlets here in the United States as well. So it's a pretty big story, not really believed to be a UFO in the kind of definition of alien-powered spacecraft type of thing. It's pretty much they saw something they couldn't understand or identify, and that it's more than likely a meteor. But I'm not convinced. And trust me, I'm very skeptical of this kind of stuff, but there's just some details that don't add up. But they're just going to take the majority of the story and say, well, since the majority of it points towards this, we're just going to exclude everything else and just go into this. But again, I think these pilots would have had this this experience behind them. They would have understood all this stuff. But it is what it is, I guess. And we'll see how this story evolves in the next few days, or if it just pretty much fades away. Yeah, and I chose the CBS News link. It was one of the first ones that was out there. here in the United States, and it didn't seem to get too carried away. Some of them, the UK ones, they were either over the top with UFO, this is unexplained drama as far as unexplained type of things, and others were just really dismissive, very skeptical written, and CBS one was pretty much down the middle. They kind of ended with what I just said about the incident in March in Arizona, but they kind of also had a little bit of a potential explanation with a meteor in there as well. So I appreciated that with this story, but it's pretty much one of the bigger UFO stories of the year so far, even though it's probably got a potential explanation. Still has a lot of witnesses for this, so I'm surprised that passengers have not released anything yet, but at that early morning hour, I'm sure most people were drifting off into La La Land, or you know, waking up from naps or whatever at that point in time from an overnight flight. But we'll stay tuned. We'll see if anything else comes about this story from Ireland. So that being said, we're going to fly back down to Florida. And, you know, there's generally a spike in UFO sightings around the 4th of July. It's pretty much every year. A lot of people think that this is because a lot of people are outside, the weather is nice, and people are looking up. Well, this is partially correct. But it's also because there's a lot more lights in the sky than normal outside, and outside of the normal air traffic that we generally see. So the 4th of July marks a big time of the year also for parachutists to perform dives, along with opening days at baseball games, and many football games get the same spectacle in the fall. And this is generally where a second spike occurs, and here in the fall. And generally, you see it in September, October with college football and some NFL games. But it's always the same thing every year, and this year is no different. So back on October 26th, multiple reports and videos were posted about lights in the sky over Tallahassee, Florida. Confused onlookers and UFO conspiracy theorists were quickly calmed down as the Tallahassee Democrat newspaper quickly put the mystery to rest as they revealed that this was nothing more. I know, it sounds like an excuse, but believe me, it's verified. It was a training exercise for skydivers who would be appearing for a game. And that game was the Florida State Seminoles, who were an 18-point underdog to the Clemson Tigers. And that one didn't turn out too well. I'm sure the King knows about this. Florida State, they took their worst loss in their program history. They were pounded 59-10 by the Tigers. So, yeah, anything they can distract themselves from that horrible loss, lights in the sky, whatever. Obviously, not too many people were probably going to that game. Just kidding. College football, it doesn't matter how good or bad. People always support their schools and their football teams. But it seems like it always happens in the fall and 4th of July. We see these same stories over and over and over. And again, this year, no different. There was actually a couple that happened that I haven't talked about, that I never did, that happened around the time of I took the 2 weeks off here. There was a couple stories floating around about the same stuff. So let me get that in the chat room, so you guys can see that as well. The Florida. Well, that didn't work. I had a good string of luck there for a while, and it all just fell apart. Let's see if I can do this one last time. And there it is. There it is. So, a similar event took place over the skies of New Braunfels, Texas, on November 2nd at around 7:30 p.m. The witnesses of this video that went viral, sounded confused at what he and the others were seeing and could only say that it reminded him of a missile gone awry. As I'm sure that he sees this happen frequently, you know, sees missiles going good and some missiles going awry. So he's pretty much an expert at this, I'm sure. I'm not sure. The video was not alone, as a MUFON, or again, a Mutual UFO Network report, was also filed on the sighting that said, in part, quote, "My husband saw the large fireballs out of our high windows. He came quickly to me and told me to look out the window. I did and saw six fireballs. He went out the back door onto our deck. I followed him out onto the deck, and we both saw the six large fireballs in a row. Then they began to roll off to the left. Then they scrambled. They were ascending and had fire tails. Then they hesitated and descended behind the trees. Did not see fire tails as they were descending. We waited a while, but we did not see them anymore." Unquote. Well, these people are the worst people in town. Yes, they are the worst people in town. And nothing about their character. But they were probably unaware of a huge event that had started on November 2nd, which is none other than the 57th annual Worst Fest that took place in New Braunfels from November 2nd and just wrapped up this last Sunday, November 11th. New Braunfels is just northeast of San Antonio and is home to a large concentration of German heritage as it was settled by Germans. And I can attest, I've actually enjoyed a nice Scheinerbach beer and taken in some live music at the oldest dance hall in Texas, right there in New Braunfels. It's actually used to be a town called Green, but now Green Hall, which was built in 1878, is now part of New Braunfels. And I've spent some time in and around New Braunfels with friends who are more like family to me. And so I'm very familiar with that area. But man, these things just never seem to stop. These skydivers being, and you know, it's not a matter of people seeing this and going, "Oh, wow, let me take a video of this and put it on YouTube and Facebook and fool people." These people are genuinely confused about what they're seeing in the sky. They have no idea that these are actually parachutists, even though there's dozens of videos already out there about the same type of activity. So it's just weird. It's just weird that people, they're not used to seeing this. I don't know if it's because of the angle. If you're at a stadium, and I guess you know that these guys are coming down, and they're coming straight at you, it's one thing. I mean, I've seen them before overhead, but I've never seen parachuters jumping with flares from like a mile away or anything. But the videos, they're all pretty much the same. I don't know. People are like I said, they're genuinely, they're confused. They really are. And I don't know. Pyrotechnics, man. Strapped to their bodies. I guess seen at a distance, it's a little bit different, I guess. I don't know. Well, either way, ein Prosit. That's all I got to say about that. If you don't know what that means, well, you're not German. Well, I'm not German either. But anyway, let me throw that link into the chat room. That's pretty cool. Best friend is from New Braunfels. That's why I've spent some time down there. And there's your link to the UFOs flying over New Braunfels. And the UFO stories continue. So we go from the explainable to the questionable. And let's just say highly debatable. And this isn't just debatable about UFO conspiracy theorist type people and other people. This is scientists are actually arguing about the validity of an object in space, Some think that it's an alien spaceship. Scientists think this is an alien spaceship. This is pretty cool. Who knows? So just over a year ago, again, I've covered this story since it happened, and I didn't think it was too big of a deal, but now here it is again, probably for the third or fourth time we've talked about this thing, and it just gets a little bit more, I don't know, a little bit more debatable every time it comes back. So just over a year ago, on October 19th, 2017, a strange object was observed by the Pan-STARRS telescope in Hawaii. The object was quickly given a minor planet designation number of 1I2017U1. And, well, that's not very sexy, really. But it's actually the first of its kind. So the I in the name of the 1I2017 stands for interstellar. It's the first of its kind. It's designated with the I. When the object was first discovered, it was thought to be a comet and thus named with a C for comet. And then later thought to be an asteroid, so an A was used. Well, this turned out to be the first known interstellar object observed in our solar system. And it quickly adopted a much cooler, unfortunately harder to pronounce and harder to write name, a Hawaiian name of Oumuamua, which means scout. So Oumuamua gained a lot of attention from those who believed this could be a UFO mothership or other alien-driven craft. This was the big debate last year when this thing was first observed. It kind of snuck up on us, which was my confusing point here. We didn't see this thing until it was basically, I think it was, what, two times further than the Earth? And this is a half-mile-long object? That's pretty scary. And yeah, we have things that are crossing close to us all the time. There's dozens of objects that are constantly being tracked by NASA. So when people say, well, what good is NASA? It's a waste of money. Well, if we pull the plug on NASA, we have no idea what's going on out there in space. What objects are potentially going to slam into us. But this object came out of nowhere and traveling very, very fast. And it's actually pretty small, even though it's a half mile long. It's pretty small for something out in space. But it's really highly debated right now, and it's beyond that initial period where people were going back and forth about this being a UFO and all this other stuff. Science quickly shot down this idea, as the object was definitely a rocky-like object, just tumbling through the solar system and drawn in by the sun's gravity. No big deal. The object, again, was pretty small, estimated to be about 3,280 feet long, which is, again, still more than a half mile long, but it's long and thin, and possibly only 800 feet across. So think of it as like a giant hot dog or cigar tumbling through space. Still, the Allen Telescope Array and the Green Bank Telescope were both used to see if any radio transmissions could be detected, but the object was silent. So even scientists, when this thing first came in, kind of wanted to give that benefit of the doubt. We want to make sure that this was not an intelligent thing out there. Why not? I mean, just could be a rock, could be a comet, but hey, let's tune in and find out anyway, because you never know. Many people speculate about this object, and you know, these initial radio telescopes, they got nothing. The object was silent, but the speculation was still there. And as this thing turned and started to head away, the speculation, the stories kind of died down. Oumuamua kind of went into, it was fading away in the news just as it was fading away from us. But it's back. Professor Avi Loeb, chairman of Harvard's Astronomy Department and postdoctoral fellow Shmuel Bialy, have now filed paperwork stating that they think the object may be extraterrestrial in origin. Loeb, who is an advisor on the Breakthrough Listen project, which is headed by SETI, which SETI is the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and they don't really believe in UFOs flying around Earth. They think that these signals are coming from deep space. So feel how you want to feel about that. He and Bailey are speculating that this object might be an alien ship or possibly a piece of one or even a probe of some sort based solely on what they cite as, quote, peculiar acceleration, unquote. And the paper was officially published on Monday, November 12th, in the Astrophysical Journal Letters. The two feel that the discrepancy of the object's movement can be explained if it were in fact a probe of some sort, which they feel they might have just drifted through our solar system. And Loeb stated in an email to Universe Today, may be on a, quote, reconnaissance mission into the inner region of the solar system, unquote. Huh. Loeb also added via the Boston Globe, quote, there is data on the orbit of this object for which there is no other explanation. So we wrote this paper suggesting this observation or this explanation. The approach I take to the subject is purely scientific and evidence-based, unquote. Ah, aliens. That's scientific? Just to say it's aliens? Okay. The confusion extends from what the object was initially thought, what it was thought to be, as well as how it acted as it began to move out of the solar system. So initially, this was thought, again, to be a comet, but it did not display a coma, or basically a tail. So when the comet gets closer to the sun, there should be these little things coming off of it. If you were around to see Halley's Comet, what was the other one? I forget what the other one was. Had two names to it. You could see the tail of this comet, because it's basically the ice melting off of this thing as it hits the sun, essentially, and it, you know, solar wind, basically, not wind as in what we think of wind, but particles pushing the stuff off as well as the heat. Well, this wasn't displayed, so they reassigned it as an asteroid. So an asteroid would mean that it would be essentially dry rock with very little, if any, ice on it that would create it into being a comet. Well, then scientists decided, well, it's maybe it's a comet. But again, it didn't display the tail, and it's thought that it should have broken up as it accelerated as it were pulled near the sun. If this were a comet going that fast, it probably would have been obliterated at that size. So as of now, it's actually neither a comet or an asteroid. Although there are valid arguments for and against either explanation based on what we know about the universe so far, which is part of the problem. Because again, this is an interstellar object. So this is acting a little bit differently than maybe what we're used to. We're not used to tracking objects that have come from outside of our solar system. Now, Don Lincoln, a senior scientist at the Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory, wrote an opinion article about this subject on CNN.com where he says in part, quote, given an astronomer and an object's position, velocity, and trajectory, and he or she can predict far in the future where it will be and how fast it will be going. There's only one problem. The predictions for the Oumuamua velocity and ongoing measurements disagree. It appears to be leaving the solar system more quickly than expected based on gravity. This is another way of saying that it's experiencing a small and unexplained acceleration away from the sun. Now, this acceleration is very small indeed. The effect of gravity is about 200,000 times bigger. So it's not like this is a spaceship going into light speed or something like this. It's just a small measurement. In addition, it's being reported that this unexplained effect is changing in a very specific way. As the distance between Oumuamua and the sun increases, that unanticipated acceleration decreases as the square of that distance. So he says this is a very pedestrian explanation for this non-gravitational behavior. The object is outgassing, which means various forms of ice are melting and puffing off into space. Basically, it's the same principle as a rocket ship. Near the sun, there would be lots of melting and lots of puffing. Further from the sun, the melting would slow, and this would result in less unexplained acceleration. This is a perfectly reasonable explanation for the object's movement through space, except, of course, that there has been no observation of a comet-like tail, which is caused by exactly this sort of melting ice. That doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, but it hasn't been seen, and that means that astronomers cannot assume it's there, unquote. So obviously not everyone is convinced that this hypothesis has any weight to it, as even SETI senior astronomer Seth Shostak said in an email to NBC that, quote, one should not blindly accept this clever hypothesis when there is also a mundane explanation for Oumuamua, namely that it's a comet or asteroid from afar, unquote. So it's weird to see scientists arguing back and forth over the explanation of all this stuff. Kind of reminds me of when Pluto got demoted. But it's weird to see them arguing about an alien craft. It's just weird to read that. But so this object is now it's gone. It's leaving our solar system. It's pretty much beyond where Jupiter's orbit would be. It's no longer visible here on earthly telescopes. We can't see it anymore. It's on its way out. But it's still causing confusion down here on our little rock hurtling through space. Sad but true. Yeah, people want to argue about little things like that. But I just think it's weird that they would speculate and say that this is an alien ship just because it doesn't exactly act the way we would expect it. It's kind of jumping the gun because we don't know everything. We don't know everything about space. I mean, we're still learning all this stuff. So I think it's a little much to jump to conclusions. And last but not least, I got one last story here in the chamber, and it's a sad one. This was announced on October 30th, but I still had to talk about this one because this is near and dear to me. This is a big deal in my world. One of the most prolific satellites in science died and was officially retired. Yes, the Kepler Space Telescope was launched on March 7, 2009 on a four-year mission to catalog main sequence stars in the Milky Way galaxy from a fixed field of view in space in an effort to find Earth-sized exoplanets circling these stars. Despite a number of setbacks prior to and since its launch, the Kepler Space Telescope still managed to observe over 530,000 stars and record 2,662 exoplanets. In all, there have been 3,826 confirmed exoplanets, so Kepler leads the way. Well, leads the way right now. We'll see. There's still nearly 2,900 other exoplanets that Kepler discovered through its various missions, but these have not yet been confirmed. So Kepler was fueled to last at least 6 years, and it gave 9. And despite many of the setbacks and failures, it still delivered results that have set the bar for discovery of potentially habitable planets that may affect the future of humanity. Yes, that's that big of a deal. The Transiting Exoplanet Survey satellite, known as TESS, a visible light telescope, was launched on April 18th of this year and joins a variety of other visible gamma ray, X-ray, ultraviolet, infrared, microwave, and particle detection telescopes. That's a mouthful. Of course, the next big one will be the James Webb Space Telescope, which will hopefully be launched in March of 2021. And yes, also sad news over the weekend, the loss of Stan Lee. And Stan Lee, you know, fine, he just writes comic books. He invented comics, and it's arguing over did he takes credit for it, where other people like Jack Kirby had also their hands in this stuff. But I'll tell you what, especially when you're talking about UFOs, you're talking about aliens, we're talking about other worlds and universes, guys like Stan Lee have opened the minds of adults and children alike to the potential of life in outer space and that life interacting here on Earth. And I don't think anyone's had that kind of effect since the War of the Worlds, I would think, on the culture of belief in life in outer space. So I'm going to leave you with that. And again, as always, if you have any information about any paranormal conference or convention, let me know. I'm building the 2019 schedule of events for ghosts, cryptozoological, and UFO events for 2019. Exciting. Big thanks again to everybody in the chat room. I really appreciate you guys being there. I saw a few questions pop in. I didn't jump on them, but I had a lot to talk about tonight. But I hope you enjoyed the program nonetheless. I really enjoyed doing this live and having the live interactions. Everybody in there at the same time. But it's time that we part. So I will see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting out.